Right. Please, Almighty God, to bless us together this morning as we meditate in His holy word. Let us turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 16, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. The book of Psalms, Psalm 16, and reading verses 5 and 6. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. It's good sometimes to just ponder and meditate upon the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and the implication that the Word of God has. And here in this Psalm of David, we see how he was led to recognize the relevance of eternal things, and how he was able to tell us that the reality was, very simply, the Lord was his portion. The Lord was his portion. The Lord was what and who he desired to see and who he desired to know. And it was this great God, the Lord Almighty, that helped him, that Lord God who maintained him. And it would be good for us today to realize that we're following in the same steps that David did. Because it's clear here, he tells us, the Lord is a portion of mine inheritance. Well, the portion of our inheritance. I wonder what our inheritance is. I hope our inheritance is that which is before us as that place of glory. Heaven at last. And to realize here, David's able to explain to us very clearly that in glory, in that inheritance, the great blessing will be to view and to be with the Lord. The Lord is that portion of his inheritance. We live in a day when people have very strange views, really, of the glory at last, or what the inheritance will be. And the position is, they often bring it down to a natural level and expect, therefore, heaven, the inheritance, to be that which is taken up with natural things, where of course it's very different. Heaven indeed, the inheritance is a holy place, and the great favour and the great lot of the Church of God is to look forward to that inheritance, which the Lord has very clearly told us when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So that's the glory of the inheritance, to be with Christ, to enjoy Christ forever and ever. Not to enjoy the vanities of this passing world. They will be forgotten. They will be behind us. They will not reoccur. They will be finished. Indeed, as we know, this world as we know it will vanish and be burnt up. But the Lord remains. Our God remains. Heaven remains. And therefore, as we journey through life, it will be a wonderful blessing, therefore, if we are given faith to look beyond the things of this world, to have that very clear position in our hearts. This is not our rest, to realize, as we read in Micah, it is polluted, this world is polluted. We only have to look around today and recognize that the world in which we live becomes worse and worse and worse. An ungodly place in which we find ourselves living. So many things to distract us away from the things of God. So many things to direct us to the things which are vanity of vanity. But what a mercy it is if God gives us that faith to look forward, that faith to believe, that faith to have the wonderful evidence in our own hearts, and then us realize true godliness is personal. True godliness is that revelation from God to our souls that He is the one who is the portion of His church. That's why David is able to come and say, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance." It's a very personal statement he's able to make. And it's not just David that is able to make that, but all of the true church of God, by the grace of God, by the wonderful favour of God, are able to look forward and to believe indeed that the Lord is our portion. And if it's that great and glorious God who's given us the wonderful gift of eternal life, there's no one else that can give us that. And yet, that which is given is what it says. Never fails, never fades, ever bright, eternal. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Well, we read, don't we, in just a further couple of psalms, again the Psalm of David, where he tells us in the 5th verse of the 23rd psalm, he says, "My cup runneth over." The Lord filled his cup, filled his cup with blessing, filled his cup with mercy, so that he was able to record what God had done for him. And it's good as we read what David was able to write about God. He tells us the Lord, no one else, no one else. And that should be the same in our lives. No one else. The Lord, said David, is my shepherd. The one who was leading, the one who had led him, the one who was directing him. And of course, he was well equipped and able to give the illustration of a shepherd, because he'd been a shepherd himself. And he looked after the sheep and how he guided the sheep. And therefore he was able to then draw the analogy and tell us that the Lord is my shepherd. And again we see there the personal element brought into God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. And so we have the statement here, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. We do want to have very clear views in our own heart, in our own testimony, that these things have a personal application to each one of us, and to look forward to the inheritance because God is our shepherd, because God is our portion. It's not something which is vague, it's not something which is unintelligible, it's that which God has made over to us by personal revelation. Left to ourselves, we are in darkness. When the Lord shines, the heavenly light shows to us the great and glorious Saviour. What a mercy then for us today to be able to comprehend and able to understand that glorious light has shone into our hearts, to realise that this gracious God is our portion and He is our shepherd. And because of that, as David says, I shall not want. Now you see, he's looking beyond the things of natural life. There are many things that people want naturally, perhaps many things that you and I want naturally, but in reality they are irrelevant by comparison with eternal realities. And then he just itemizes how the Lord was with him and how the Lord blessed him. He tells us, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It's a very peaceful scene, isn't it? Well, it's a great blessing when God comes and blesses us with peace. And that peace is only to be found in and through what Christ has done. There's our peace. Our peace is what He's done. And it's good, therefore, if the Lord comes and makes us. He brings us. He makes us to lie down, to come aside, to rest a while, to come inside and meditate upon the glory of His finished work. Oh, that's a place of green pastures. That's a place of still waters. Because, why is it still? Because the work is done for us. It's not something that we do. Christ's work is done. Yes, it's complete. And what a mercy if it's done on your behalf and my behalf. And therefore we can say with a positive position, through the grace of God and because of His love and mercy toward us, the Lord is my shepherd. He does make me lie down. He does lead me. Mercy, isn't it? Mercy to be led by this great and glorious God who is our portion. You see, if God is to be the portion for us in glory, He will be our portion on this earth. We won't be a stranger to our God. We will have, by His wonderful love and mercy, to know that union and that communion, as the Lord does lead us beside the still waters. And we're told here not only that, but also He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And what is it? It's to bring honour and glory to the name of Almighty God. What a favour that is. And He says also, before that, He says He restores my soul. Perhaps that's something we understand. We may have wandered away. We may have gone into the broad way. And the Lord has graciously brought us back. He's brought us out to the broad way, into the narrow way. And what is that? It's a restoring of our soul. And then He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why would he fear no evil? Because he had a good prospect. Because he had a good prospect of an inheritance, which was indeed, as Peter says, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And so he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If God is for us, if God is with us, we have nothing to fear, do we? The devil will try and make us fear. The devil will try and turn us away from the truth of God, from the great and glorious promises of God. But here they are, set before us here, as he says, the Lord is my portion, the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Yes, it's the Lord that blesses us with these spiritual realities. Thou maintainest my lot. He maintained him. He enabled him to hold on his way. And he does still today. To the living church of God. He maintains us. He strengthens us. He feeds our soul. He gives us that which is needful for us. Perhaps we expect to have a wonderful feast sometimes. The Lord does. But generally speaking, it is a crumb here and a crumb here sufficient to enable us to continue. Strength sufficient for the day. Not a great excess, but strength sufficient. Strength sufficient to hold on our way. He tells us, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." All these blessings, all these favours, and it's a wonderful favour for us to realise that here we have the Lord who is our portion, and we meditate upon these great truths, and they are a comfort to us. They are a blessing to us, and we're able to say, "My cup runneth over." Runneth over with blessings. Runneth over with the favour of God. Runneth over with his mercy toward us. Runneth over with his love toward us. It's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? When the Lord draws us aside, comes to us, where we are. He knows where we are on our little journey of life. He knows exactly where we are. He knows how far we've got. He knows the roughness of the way. He knows the difficulties. And all through that, he goes with us. And he leads us. He anoints our head with oil, and our cup runneth over. And then you see, finally, they were to come and tell us, in confidence, surely, surely. And it's true. If you and I have tasted that the Lord is gracious, the Lord has touched our hearts, the Lord has remembered us with that favour he bears to his people, then surely we can also have a humble confidence in what God has done and in what God is doing, to be able to say, surely, because of that, I can say, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he looks forward. And he looks forward. And with the evidence in his heart, he's able to say, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why David is able to say again in this psalm, the Lord is a portion of mine inheritance, because he looks beyond really this life to that inheritance where the Lord was his portion in this life. And the Lord will be his portion in glory, in that inheritance which is to come. What a mercy, my friends, if that is our situation. And what a blessing it is if we realise that we today, many years after David wrote this, and yet we today, by the grace of God, worship the same Almighty Lord God, and that one who comes and controls our little lives. And so he carries on in this sixth verse and says, the lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. This statement is perhaps a little difficult to understand, but it really means that the place for us is marked out by Almighty God. You look back at Israel of old, we read in that 115th Psalm how the Lord led his people about. Yes, he knew what he was going to do. He knew how they were going to be directed. He knew the path that they were going to be led and directed in. And he says, And we're told in that psalm, he says, which covenant he made with Abraham, and oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. You see, the truth of God doesn't fail. It is everlasting. We can rely upon it. An everlasting covenant. The promises of God are yea and amen. They will not fail. And therefore we are told, and confirm the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. The place that God had promised to them. Natural way. They were promised to come into that land of Canaan. That was their inheritance, naturally. And God promised it to them, and they arrived safely. And it's true today with regard to the church of God. There is an inheritance, and it is promised to the church of God. What a mercy it is to realize it's promised to us today. And therefore the lines are fallen unto me. He says again, come back to the personal application to each one of us. Those lines are fallen. God's arranged it. They're in place for us as we journey on through life. It's not something that we'll find it is a strange and difficult situation, because they're fallen unto me in pleasant places. You may say, well, I'm not sure if it is pleasant. Well, let me tell you this. It is pleasant if God is there. And if God is there, and in that place that God directs us to, in a spiritual way, he leads us into those places which are truly pleasant. You may say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I believe he leads us to see the glorious life of the Saviour. And he leads his people. He leads them to Gethsemane. Why does he lead them there? To see the cost of our salvation. To see what the Lord Jesus Christ agonized in and over because of that which he had to endure on our behalf. Well, we could itemize it and say, yes, by the grace of God to my soul, it's a pleasant place, because by faith I view the Saviour suffering for me. What a mercy then, if the Lord has given us this blessing, and lines are fallen unto me, unto you, unto me, and the Lord leads us in into these places ordained by Almighty God. Pleasant place, a spiritual place of blessing, a solemn place. But what a mercy when the Lord shows us the cost of our salvation. Not something trivial. You see, the inheritance is a most glorious place. A place where there is no sadness and no sin and no sorrow. And that's what the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us. But in order to do that, he had to fulfill that which Almighty God saw fit to lay upon him, that he would indeed be your Saviour and my Saviour. The one who paid the price for our redemption. Pleasant places. Because it is by faith. They are pleasant to us. They're glorious to us. As the Lord leads us there. Not only to Gethsemane, but to the judgment hall, and to see how Christ was beaten there and mocked, humiliated. He bore the curse for us, and then led to Calvary and bore that terribly painful death in order that you and I might receive the wonderful gift of eternal life. He says, the lions have fallen into me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. A goodly heritage. And if we are able to consider that, the Lord leads us into these situations, we will realize that glory, the portion of God's people, will be to be with the Lord. That's why he says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Because there, by the grace of God, we will be able to praise him forever. Forever. For what he's done in blessing us. What he's done in maintaining us. He maintains us, you know, through our little life on this earth. There's many times of opposition. The devil shakes us. The devil harangues us. The devil surrounds us. The devil tries to turn us out of the way. He brings before us every temptation he can. But you see, by the grace of God, he will not overcome us. Because we're told, thou maintainest my lot. The Lord maintains us. The Lord strengthens us. The Lord holds us up and enables us to look beyond this little life and to look forward to this goodly heritage. I wonder if you do sometimes observe the goodly heritage which God has prepared for his people. A place of bliss, of eternal happiness. Nothing to mar that perfect scene. And yet, to have that confidence. And David had that confidence. He said, I have a goodly heritage. And we should not make an issue and pretend that we don't know. You see, if God has touched our hearts, if God has shown us just a little of his wonderful love to such unworthy sinners, if the Holy Spirit has blessed us with that spiritual life, that spiritual quickening, made us alive, we must not deny it. The devil would endeavour to shake us out of it. But what God has given cannot be taken away, because it's written, as it were, with an iron pen in the rock. Can't be changed. God has done it. And what a mercy it is then to have this great and glorious God. What a mercy it is to think of these great truths. You know, the Apostle Paul was full of them, really. You only have to read through his epistles and you can recognize there what he tells us, how God was good and kind and gracious and merciful to him, unworthy as he felt himself to be, as indeed we will likewise feel to be unworthy. But we're told in the epistle to the Ephesians, in the first chapter, he tells us this in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. It's done. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. They're great words. Go home, ponder them. First of Ephesians, verses 11, 12, and 13. It spells out very gloriously the confidence that the church of God have, the confidence that the apostle had. My friends, therefore, he tells us of these great and glorious truths. And earlier in this chapter, he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. To himself. Yes, the children of God, a child of God, of the Most High, according to the good pleasure of his will. Isn't that amazing? The good pleasure of his will. The almighty will of Almighty God, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know, that's the glorious gospel, is it not? The wonderful mercy and wonderful favour. And you see, with those truths, can we not come and say humbly and yet honestly and truthfully, and not to deny, you know, there's a tendency to deny the work of God in our souls. And yet, you, what a blessing, my friends, to be able to honour God. It's not our work, it's God's work. And he's brought us into these places and able to say that the lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The church of God do have a goodly heritage. Every member of that church of God have a goodly heritage. And my friends, you and I either have a goodly heritage or we do not have a goodly heritage. There's no grey area. There's no middle line. My friends, it's black and white. The apostle knew it by the grace of God. David knew it by the grace of God. He was able to thank God and to wonderfully rejoice in it. Well, I hope tonight, or I hope this morning, that you and I can also rejoice in it. You know, Moses tells us when he wrote the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord's portion is his people. Isn't that humbling? To think we are God's portion. Unbelievable, isn't it? Unworthy sinners of the earth. Yet through the grace of God, Moses was able to write that great truth when he wrote the book of Deuteronomy, and he wrote it, of course, so that Israel would have a wonderful record of God's goodness and mercy toward them. He didn't want them to forget. He didn't want them to not know it. And of course, by the grace of God, it's been handed down through generations. And we today are still able to read that great truth. The Lord's portion is his people. And my friends, what a mercy to think that includes unworthy you and unworthy me. What a blessing. What a favour it is to think that we have such a kind and such a wonderful and merciful God who looks upon us and deals with us in love to our souls. Asaph uses very similar words in the 73rd Psalm, which is a Psalm of Asaph. And he tells us, towards the end of this Psalm, He says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me up by my right hand. It is only God that holds us up. No one else. We should fail otherwise. We should fall. We should disappear. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Well, that was many years ago, before the Lord spoke those words in the upper room, that he will come and receive us unto himself. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. It's good, isn't it, when our religion comes down to that wonderful statement, wonderful positive statement. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Who do we have in heaven? Is it our blessed Saviour? Is he there waiting to receive us? And there is none upon earth, says Asaph, that I desire beside thee. Well, that's a good expression, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful if God leads us and brings us by his grace to realize Jesus is the one thing needful. He is the all-glorious one. And so he goes on to say, my flesh and my heart faileth. Yes, we deteriorate naturally, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Don't forget that. It's not something which fades away. It's something which lasts forever. An inheritance. What a mercy. A heritage. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Well, that was the testimony of David. It was the testimony of Asaph. It was the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And I believe by the grace of God, it is a testimony of the Church of God. And my friends, let us not therefore despise God's word. Let us not despise the day of small things. Let us not despise the little hope that you and I have by the grace of God. But may it be that which is our confidence, that which we truly come and praise and thank God for, that he hasn't cast us away as a cumberer of the ground, that which we deserve, but his mercy has come to us. His mercy holds us up. His mercy will bring us safe home to glory. Well, this morning, may we ponder these words and may we think upon them and have that humble confidence to believe and be able to say, as David did. Because David wrote these words with a humble confidence. He knew where his strength lay, but he had that confidence in his God. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Amen.